palpitations I've had since I've known you are enough to blanch the feathers of any bird. But I thought you lived for 500 years. I have lived in these 2 months at a pace which generously counterbalances 500 years of life in the desert, said the phoenix. I am old. I am weary. I feel as if I ought to lay my egg and lay me down to my fiery sleep. But unless I'm careful, I shall be hatched again instantly, and that is a misfortune which I really do not think I could endure. But do not let me intrude these desperate personal reflections on your youthful happiness. What is the show at the theatre tonight? Wrestlers? Gladiators? I don't think so, said Cyril. It's called The Water Babies, and if it's like the book, there isn't any gladiating in it. It's about chimney sweeps and children living in water, said Anthea. It sounds chilly. The phoenix shivered and went to sit on the tongs. I don't suppose there will be real water, said Jane, and theatres are very warm and pretty with a lot of golden lamps. Wouldn't you like to come with us? That evening, the phoenix snugged inside Robert's waistcoat, a very tight fit it seemed both to Robert and to the phoenix, and was taken to the play. Father's parting words were, "Now don't you stir out of this box, whatever you do. I shall be back before the end of the play. Be good, and you will be happy. Goodbye." Robert was at last able to remove his coat, mop his perspiring brow, and release the crushed and dishevelled phoenix. They were very, very early. When the lights went up fully, the phoenix, balancing itself on the gilded back of a chair, swayed in ecstasy. "How fair a scene is this!" it murmured. "Tell me, my Robert, is not this a temple?" "You can call this your temple if you like," said Robert. "But shh, the music is beginning." "I'm not going to tell you about the play. What I must tell you is that, though Cyril and Jane and Robert and Anthea enjoyed it as much as any children possibly could, the pleasure of the phoenix was far, far greater than theirs. This is indeed my temple," it said again and again. "What radiant rites, and all to do honour to me." The songs in the play it took to be hymns in its honour. The electric lights, it said, were magic torches lighted for its sake, and it was so charmed with the footlights that the children could hardly persuade it to sit still. But when the limelight was shown, it could contain its approval no longer. It flapped its golden wings and cried in a voice that could be heard all over the theatre, "Well done, my servants! Ye have my favour and my countenance!" The actor playing Little Tom stopped short in what he was saying. A deep breath was drawn by hundreds of lungs, every eye in the house turned to the box where the luckless children cringed, and most people hissed or said "Shh!" or "Turn them out!" Then the play went on, and an attendant presently came to the box and spoke wrathfully. "It wasn't us, indeed it wasn't," said Anthea truthfully. When the attendant had gone, the phoenix was quiet, but it kept whispering to the children. It wanted to know why there was no altar, no fire, no incense, and became so excited and fretful and tiresome that the 4 children wished deeply it had been left at home. What happened next was entirely the fault of the phoenix. It was balancing itself on the gilt back of the chair, swaying backwards and forwards, when it murmured warmly, "No altar, no fire, no incense," and then, before any of the children could even begin to think of stopping,